makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you a tender and heartwarming story played against the background of the New York slums. The true story of a doctor who faced a momentous decision. Our star this evening is one of Hollywood's finest dramatic performers, John Garfield. For more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. They have the pride of craftsmen in their name. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. Hallmark. That's why Hallmark cards are the kind of cards you can be proud to send, proud to receive. So when you want to send the very finest, look on the back for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. To be doubly sure, always look on the back of the card you choose for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Now, to preside over our program this evening, here is our regular master of ceremonies, the young Broadway actor and producer, Richard Calmer.
Thank you, Harry Marble, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Down along the lower east side of Manhattan Island is a district of slums, known for its poverty, its assortment of faces and tongues, and its tough vitality. This is where our story, Dr. Mike, is set tonight. And to play the leading role, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you a star who knows the life of those slums better than any actor in Hollywood. You saw him on the stage in Golden Boy and Awake and Sing. You saw him on the screen in Pride of the Marines, The Postman Always Rings Twice, and Humoresque. His name, John Garfield.
Hello, Dick, and thank you. Sure, I know the East Side slums. I grew up in them.
Well, you've come a long way since then, John.
Oh, no, I haven't. The people down there are real. Those noisy streets are part of me. I don't ever want to get too far away from them.
Well, how did you get into acting, Johnny?
By the back door. You know, you learn to be tough fast if you're brought up on the East Side, New York streets, the way I was. I learned to fight.
That made you an actor?
Oh, no. That almost won me the Golden Gloves. And then I figured you can't say much with boxing mitts. So I studied speech. And that's how I got interested in acting.
Well, being fast with the leather gloves came in pretty handy, didn't it, John? I hear this new picture of yours is a film about boxing.
That's right. It's called Body and Soul, being made by Enterprise Productions.
Well, if you like roles about real scrappers, you ought to enjoy this show tonight.
Enjoy it? Dick, this guy I'm playing tonight, this Dr. Mike, is so right I feel like going out and meeting him afterwards. Or sending him one of those Hallmark greeting cards just to say, Doc, you're okay.
Well, maybe when you were a kid on the streets, Johnny, you knew him.
Maybe I did.
Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards are proud to present on the Reader's Digest radio edition, John Garfield, in a story he might have lived, Dr. Mike.
Call me Dr. Mike. That's what my patients call me. It seems pretty nice to be a doctor. My parents were immigrants. My father died when I was a baby. There were five other kids besides me. My mother made stockings at home on a machine with thread furnished by the company. Sometimes she made 75 cents a day.
7 mouths to feed. 7 mouths to feed.
That's what I used to hear my mother saying every morning. 7 mouths to feed. So as soon as I could, I went to work in a box factory. Up at 5, 12 hours a day piling boxes, no heat in winter, no open windows in summer, piece of bread or dried scrap of meat for lunch. Yeah, it seems pretty nice to be a doctor. I manage it by going to night school first and then quitting work to go to college. And now I'm back in the neighborhood I grew up in, and I'm a doctor, and a busy one. Every day, plenty of patients.
You think I'm going to be all right, doctor?
Sure you're going to be all right if you take this medicine faithfully. Here's the prescription.
But I got no money to pay for no medicine.
Well, dip into that cigar box there.
Taking the splints off today, doctor?
No, this arm isn't healed yet.
Yeah, but I need that arm to go to work. Can't afford to loaf anymore.
See what you can find in that cigar box there. It might tide you over.
Here's $2, Doctor.
Well, throw it into that cigar box there.
What do I owe you, Doctor?
Nothing.
Nothing?
That's right. You weren't sick. You've just been overworking, and you knew that yourself.
But I want to pay you something.
All right. You say you write poetry?
Yes, on the side.
Okay, that's my pay. I haven't had much time for poetry in my life. Recite a poem for me. That'll be my pay. That's what today was like. And today was like every other day. 19 patients. Let's look in the cigar box. Not bad. 19 patients, and I'm only $8 in the hole. Come in. Well, Irene O'Neill, how are you?
Hello, Dr. Mike.
Sit down. You look healthy and pretty. What's ailing?
Nothing.
Well, a social visit?
Uh-huh. I just come to give you an invite, Dr. Mike.
I accept. An invite to what?
My wedding party.
What?
No kidding.
You and Tony?
Me and who else? Sure.
When?
Tomorrow?
That's
right. Tony just got a swell new job, but he's got to go out west to take it, so we're slipping on the old ball and chain pad.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
I don't think I can make it tomorrow.
Well, you gotta make it.
Well, yeah, I got patients, Irene.
And I'm one of them, and Tony's another. We won't get married if you're not there.
No,
I mean it. You gotta come, Dr. Mike. And we got it all fixed.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, Tony's kid cousin, he'll stay in your office and take your calls and let you know if anybody needs you worse than we do at the party.
See? Yeah. Well, you want me that badly?
Well, look, Dr. Mike, I ain't so good with the mushy stuff.
Except with Tony, huh?
Yeah, except with Tony. But, well, you're the best friend Tony and I got. When he was out of work and sick, too, well, we don't forget how you used to tell him to dip into the cigar box like you owed him money.
Forget it. Tony paid me back.
No. Nobody ever pays back a thing like that, Dr. Mike. You know what Tony and I agreed?
No, what?
Well, we're going to be out west there, and maybe someday, maybe we'll be going to have a baby.
I could imagine such a thing happening sometime soon.
Well, we're going to come east when that happens. Nobody's going to bring our baby into the world but Dr. Mike.
Irene, I don't know how. Well, that's the nicest. Hey, look, Irene.
Yeah?
Have Tony's cousin here tomorrow. I want to dance at your wedding.
Hey, Ma!
I didn't hear much. I got supper fixed.
Swell. How would you like to step out tomorrow, Ma?
Well,
Tony Camilli and Irene O'Neill are being married.
Good.
And we're going to the wedding. Dance, sing, laugh, a good time, a day off. What do you say, huh?
Good, we'll go. But, Mike.
Yeah, Ma?
When are you going to get married?
Me? I don't have time.
You mean you don't have money?
Same thing, maybe.
Well, I don't kick for myself, Mike. I got more than I ever had before in my life, but you're a doctor. You ought to be rich.
Oh, Ma.
How about those fellows wanting you to open up an office with them on Park Avenue?
Oh, yeah, I didn't have the heart for that.
Sit down, Mike. Eat.
Okay. How about you?
I ate.
Oh.
There's a fellow coming to see you.
Huh? A patient?
No, a doctor.
A doctor? Oh, why didn't you tell him I wasn't sick?
You're going to have to make up your mind, Mike.
What do you mean?
Doctor, he telephoned. I told him to come. I think he wants you to come in with him. Maybe it's another chance on Park Avenue.
Look, Ma, I'd like to be rich. Sure, who wouldn't? But this Park Avenue stuff isn't for me. I haven't got anything against it for the guys who belong there. Most of them come from swanky homes, and they're working among their own people. Well, I come from this neighborhood, and I want to work among my own kind of people. Can't you see that?
I can see you're getting no praise. That's what I can see.
Maybe, but I've got to do the best I can for the kind of people I know and understand. That's what it means to be a doctor. And if it gets a guy no place, well, it gets him no place, that's all. But it's what I... Well, what? It's what I have to do.
We'll see. We'll see.
This is darn good stew, you know.
Don't change the subject.
Okay, Ma. Patient, so early in the evening, too.
Well, I'll go and see. You keep on eating. Hello.
How do you do? I'm Dr. Hawkins.
The one that telephoned?
Yes.
Oh, come in.
Thank you.
Right in here, in the parlor.
Thank you. Is your son in?
Yes. Sit down. I'll get him.
Well?
You're wanted in the parlor.
Oh, sure. Patient?
No, it's that doctor.
Oh, well, then I'd better... I'll finish eating.
All right, finish eating, but, Mike...
Yes, Ma?
Remember when those other doctors came that time and you came out of the parlor and told me you turned down a chance at Park Avenue?
Yes, I remember.
Well, this time it's going to be different. This time I'm going to go into the parlor with you. Here's my son, Dr. Hawkins.
How do you do, Doctor?
How are you? Sit down, won't you?
Yes, thanks. Well, sir, I suppose you're wondering why I came here.
More or less.
They haven't forgotten you at Bellevue since your intern days.
Well, that's nice to hear.
I've been talking with the members of the staff at Bellevue pretty regularly for the past 2 weeks, going into a few matters pretty thoroughly.
I see. What matters?
Well, for one thing, the most important thing to you, I was looking for a good internist. They recommended you.
That's nice of them. Why were you looking for an internist?
I'm starting a clinic.
Oh.
I want you to come in with us.
A lot of money in it, I suppose?
I think we all should do pretty well.
A big suite of offices on Park Avenue?
Well, as a matter of fact, we do hope to open on Park Avenue.
I thought so.
You see, Doctor, we feel that this is a time when a clinic would be most acceptable to the general public. People are coming to realize the truth that the various types of disease and pathology require attention of specialists.
I agree, but only if the ailment is serious enough.
We plan to have a large staff, from eye, ear, nose, and throat men to psychiatrists.
On Park Avenue?
Yes.
And you want me?
Yes, as an internist.
The answer is a flat no.
Mike!
No, Ma, I know what I'm saying. I know why I'm saying it. I can't do this thing.
I'm sorry, Doctor.
He'll take the job, Dr. Hawkins. He'll take the job.
No.
Of course not. I wouldn't want you to do it if you wouldn't feel right about it.
But, Dr. Hawkins, this job, would Mike work nights?
No. We'd keep office hours, long ones. But daytime hours.
Well, Mike, you could have some fun. You could...
I know, Ma, I know, but... But it's no.
I'm very sorry, Doctor. I'm sorry that you feel this way. I have heard about your work in the neighborhood here, and I was sure our clinic would appeal to you.
What made you think so?
The obvious, genuine love that you have for your poor patients. You see, we're going to devote half of each day at our clinic to the patients without the means to pay.
What's that, Doctor?
We're going to devote exactly half our time to people without the means to pay.
Well, what? Well, why didn't you say so?
If there's no money in it, Mike's for it.
I think there'll be money in it the other half day. Plenty of money.
Well, Dr. Hawkins, a clinic like that for poor people, it's a good thing.
Oh, there you are, night work. You take this job and you'll be freer.
Oh, wait a minute, let me answer. Hello? Yeah. Yes. I see. All right. Start boiling out of water. I'll be right over. Sorry.
Dr. Childbirth Chase, I've got to run. See you later.
Well, there you are. He's going to be gone all night again.
Maybe that's what makes him a good doctor. But what I didn't get a chance to tell him was that I need an answer quickly.
All right. You come tomorrow, Doctor. He'll give you your answer. And the answer will be yes.
John Garfield will be back in just a moment with the second act of tonight's drama, presented by Hallmark greeting cards from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. Now, here's Dick Calmer.
Mother's Day is Sunday, May 11th, only 10 days away. Don't let this day slip by without telling your mother how much she's always meant to you. A Hallmark card will do this so beautifully, for remember, a Hallmark card will say just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. Your Hallmark dealer has a complete selection of Mother's Day cards, so stop in tomorrow. You'll find just the right Hallmark card to tell your mother that you haven't forgotten. And don't forget the many others that you'll want to remember on Mother's Day. A favorite aunt, a grandmother, sister, or anyone who's been like a mother to you. There are Hallmark cards created especially for each of them. And when you send a Hallmark card, it means so much more. You see, for more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. That's why discriminating folks look on the back of the cards they send and receive for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best.
The next day, my mother and I went to the wedding and afterward to the reception at Irene's parents' home. Do I get to kiss the bride, Tony?
Just one time. Don't be a hog like some of these fellas.
All right, Irene.
All right, everybody sit down now. We'll eat.
Come on, Ma. Let's sit here.
All right, but we ought to go back soon, Mike.
Well, what do you mean? You've always wanted me to take a day off, but this is it.
Well, that Dr. Hawkins is coming for your answer today.
There's no rush about that.
There's lots of rush. He wants the answer today.
Well, if he really wants it, he'll find me here. That kid is at the office, and he can tell Dr. Hawkins where I am.
Hello, Dr. Mike.
Hello, hello, Mary. I wasn't sure you'd be here.
Miss my own cousin's wedding?
Well, your time has almost come, you know.
Well, if it does, Doctor, you're here.
Ouch.
Dr. Mike, here's somebody to see you.
Hello, Dr. Mike.
Dr. Hawkins, how do you do?
Oh, you did come. That's good.
Why don't you invite your friend to stay?
Well, I'll do that if you don't mind, Irene. This is Dr. Hawkins, and this is the bride, Doctor.
And a very pretty one, too.
Oh, thanks. Well, I better get back, or Tony will want a divorce.
Oh, sit down, Dr. Hawkins. No, right next to Mike.
Thanks. Some party.
They're wonderful people.
You know, I came for your answer, Doctor.
I know.
What about it?
I don't know. I'd like some time to think about it.
Well, I haven't got much time, Doctor, to keep it open.
Well, can you stay until the party is over?
This party looks so nice, I think I want to stay until it's over.
Well, maybe then I can tell you something.
Dr. Mike! Dr. Mike!
What's the matter?
Annie, she's a chicken.
Well, let's see.
She believes it's a chicken. I think it's a boy.
Oh, here, now, take it easy. Here. Here, Annie, open wide. That's wider. Good girl. That's fine.
Oh, Doctor, what a relief.
Well, you better take some more.
Come on, Annie, over here.
It should be all right now.
Neat work, Doctor.
The trouble with Annie is she's gluttonous.
Mike.
Yes, Ma.
Why don't you tell Dr. Hawkins right now that you'll go in with him in his clinic?
Oh, what?
Didn't you hear me?
No, excuse me, will you excuse me, Ma? Excuse me, Dr. Hawkins.
What's he going over to that boy for?
Oh, Nikki.
Hello, Dr. Mike.
Enjoying that candy?
Yeah. Want some?
No, thanks, Nikki. Do you want to come with me?
Well, where are you going?
Well, you'll see.
Can I bring the candy?
Sure, come on. Where's your mother?
Right over there.
Oh, yeah. Mrs. Ferrari.
Yes?
Would you come with us?
Well, what is it, Dr. Mike? What's the matter?
Well, I'll tell you. Come on.
All right.
In here.
What's the matter? Nicky's a bad boy, Dr. Mike?
No, honest, Ma. I ain't done nothing.
No, he's been all right. Here, let me feel your forehead, Nicky.
Hey, what is this?
Pretty hot, Nicky.
Well, he's excited.
No, it's Not just that he's excited. Don't you see how red and spotted his face is?
What do you mean?
We're taking Mickey home. He's got the measles.
Can't imagine where Dr. Mike could have gone to.
Oh, that fella always busy. Never has any fun for himself.
And you want him to, eh?
You bet. He ought to do all right for himself in that clinic of yours.
If he accepts.
He'll take it.
I hope so.
He wouldn't, only you're going to treat poor people half the time. And that's what he likes.
I know. He's a great doctor, your son is.
He's a great son. But he don't take care of himself.
Here he is now.
Hello, Doctor.
Mother, I'm sorry I ran off that way, but...
Well, you missed the spaghetti.
Well, I'm in time for the ice cream.
What happened, Doctor?
Well, the boy had some measles, and I brought him home and put him in bed.
You see, that's the way it is. Wherever Mike goes, sickness comes.
You make me sound like Typhoid Mary, Ma.
Well, that's the way it is.
Well, I'm back now, and it's all over, and no more work for the day.
Dr. Mike! Dr. Mike!
Oh, here it is again.
What is it, Annie?
I don't want to get everybody excited, but you better come upstairs, Dr. Mike.
What's the matter?
It's Mary.
Mary?
Yes, her time has come.
Oh.
Can I help, Doctor?
I probably won't need you, Dr. Hawkins. Stay here and eat my ice cream for me, will you?
Nice of you to invite me back here to the house.
You think I'd let you get away, Dr. Hawkins?
You really want Mike to come in with us on this clinic, don't you?
You bet.
But you know I should be getting away.
Well, then, I'll give you the answer for Mike. It's yes.
I'm afraid he'll have to give me the answer.
Then I hope that baby gets born pretty soon. Well, you'll see. Mike will say yes.
Because we're going to treat poor people.
Yes. And because today was a lesson to him.
How do you mean?
Well, now look, this was the first day off he ever had. This morning he said to me how nice it was he could go to the wedding and take it easy and have a good time, dance, laugh, kiss the bride. Well, did he have a good time?
No.
No. Did he have a day off even?
Not so that you could notice.
Well, there you are, and that's the way it is in this neighborhood. That's the way it always will be. And he knows it now. He'll go into the clinic with you.
Hello, Ma.
Dr. Hawkins.
Well, Doctor?
A 7.5-pound boy.
Fine.
Well, did today teach you a lesson?
Yes, it did.
You see, Dr. Hawkins?
You were right. Dr. Mike, I'm going to have to go very soon. I take it you have your answer ready now.
That's right. The answer is no.
Mike!
Ma, listen, you want me to be happy?
Yes.
Well, this is my way of being happy, staying here, working among these people. Today taught me a lesson, all right. I was nearly ready to accept Dr. Hawkins' offer. But in a clinic, no matter how many poor people you treat, you don't get to know them. I guess what I want is personal contact with people I understand. To bring them into the world and go to their weddings and their funerals and to share everything with them. Today there was a wedding party downstairs and a woman in labor upstairs. And it all seemed to have something to do with life as these people lived it. And I was part of it. And I want to stay part of it.
You're a good son, Mike. You're a good doctor. You do what you want.
I'd say I'm sorry. Only in a way, I'm glad, Doctor.
Thanks. I'll send the tough cases to your clinic.
Do that. And good luck.
I've got good luck already. Where else could I have such a swell time as I had at that party today?
Thank you, John.
John Garfield. That was a wonderful performance.
That Dr. Mike, he was a wonderful guy, Dick. You know, you don't have to be an actor to feel what he felt, or a doctor either, for that matter. He had a real love of people, and that was his strength.
Well, that's what makes any man great, John. Any man or any country.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me of something I read the other day in the Reader's Digest. It was written by an Englishman, Henry M. Baker, assistant manager of the Pacific branch of the American Red Cross, on why he came to America.
I know the one you mean, John. Will you read it for us?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I was filled with a hunger for knowledge and a yearning for freedom when I came to this country 30 years ago. Day and night I had dreamed of breaking through the iron bars of poverty and class distinction. Poverty kept me from college in England, but my room was full of catalogs of American universities. Here was a country in which education was not just one of those for means. I came here also for freedom. Freedom to climb from poverty. Freedom from class and caste. Freedom from ever-present tradition. Freedom to think and grow and really live. Did I find what I came for? Yes. 1,000 times over. Education was mine for the price of a personal toil. Unbelievable it seemed at first that I could pay for classics and sciences by mowing lawns and cleaning furnaces. And to find that I was not inferior to the men whose lawns I was mowing was an education indeed. I found freedom. It gave one the urge to accomplish. It stimulated to individual enterprise. It developed a deep and abiding affection for the American way of life and a profound respect for American institutions.
Thank you again, John Garfield. Mr. Bluebird, that lovable little fellow from the latest Walt Disney movie, Song of the South, is now on the new Hallmark Mr. Bluebird card. Yes, Mr. Bluebird is the talk of the town, and he's flying into the hearts of everyone on the wings of that gay new hit tune, Zippity-Doo-Dah. So if you want to send an extra bit of happiness, send the new Hallmark Mr. Bluebird cards. Send them for birthdays, anniversaries, to cheer a sick friend, or just to say hello. Be sure to ask your Hallmark dealer for Mr. Bluebird card, and you can be doubly sure of sending the happiest kind of greetings.
You're cordially invited to be with us again next week at the same time for another fine dramatic program brought to you by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. If you enjoyed tonight's show, won't you please tell your friends about it and ask them also to tune in for next week's program sponsored by Hallmark greeting cards. At that time, you will hear the true and deeply human story of a woman's faith and devotion. Our star will be that popular and charming actress of stage and radio, Shirley Booth.
Mr. Garfield was supported by Evelyn Barton in the role of the mother. Dr. Mike was dramatized by Robert Sanadella from the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Sloan, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. To be doubly sure of the finest quality, always look on the back of your cards for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. This is Harry Marvel speaking for the makers of Hallmark greeting cards and for your friendly Hallmark dealer. You'll find a wide selection of Hallmark cards at America's finest shops and stores. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness.